tonight taking part in our service, another one of our office bearers of the church, one of our deacons, Mr. Alan Carson. Alan's been a blessing to the work and an encouragement to us all here, and we're looking forward to hearing his testimony, how the Lord saved him, what the Lord means to him right up to this present time. Alan, thank you.
An absolutely nerve-wracking experience standing up here and everyone looking up at you. But I'm glad that I have a testimony to give this evening and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an amazing Savior, an amazing God. I don't stand here in self, but all glory to my wonderful Savior and to the wonderful things that He has done for me in my life and my family's life. Got your Bible with you? I'd like to read a couple of portions of Scripture. Psalm chapter 61, it's just a few verses which are very important to me and have been through my life. Very, very beautiful pieces. Psalm chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Thou, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Psalm chapter 62, verse 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be greatly moved. Down to verse 5. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I was at the privilege to be born into a Christian home. And from a very, very early age, I knew my need of salvation. I was born into a home where each Sunday I was taken along to Sunday school. And all the meetings that there was, Mum and Dad would have brought us along to them. I have to say, the area we were brought into, we were born in South Armagh. We place called Altonamacken, 500 yards from the border. The heartland of Banda country. And it's those early years of life where I was brought up where I ended up having a major impact on my life. Dad was a farmer, and you know, as young boys growing up, your goal in life is to be a farmer. That's what I wanted to be, a farmer. But you know, God says, my ways are not your ways, but all things work together for good to them that love God and to them are called according to his purpose. Not my purpose, his purpose. And circumstances in life where we were brought up very, very difficult. The class in my school, my best friend, his father and his grandfather were shot dead in the Tully Valley Orange Hall massacre. Another friend, Colin Meeklam, his uncle was brutally murdered by the IRA. One thing that stood out in my mind, I've said to Dad before, I remember him coming in, I'm weeping, getting down, I'm weeping. I couldn't understand as a child, why was Dad weeping? In later years, I was to learn that one of his best friends had been brutally murdered by the IRA. That sort of life, that's what I was brought up in. That's what our family was brought up in. As we look back on life, you see how God had his amazing hand upon us and upon our family. Now, 12th of July is a very, very important date for me. A lot of you are thinking to do the 12th Orange Men Marching, but it's not. It was on the 12th of July, 1981, Dr. Paisley was in Tully Vallon, Free Presbyterian Church, giving his testimony. I was there that I heard how God had saved him at such an early age. God spoke to me through that. I already knew my need of salvation, but God spoke to me that day. And that evening, when I went home, went to bed that evening, I got into my bed, and I prayed the sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you want to know something? He did. Because that instant, I knew that I was saved. I had a fear as a child. We all have our own imaginations. I used to have these bars around the bed in case I fell out of bed into hell. And that's a fear that I had. But when I got saved that night, those bars disappeared. And I praise God and thank God for using Dr. Paisley's testimony to bring a vile, filthy sinner as I unto him. I praise him for it. Life was difficult in those days. You went out, I'll continue on from there. Actually, once I got saved, the very next morning I jumped up on the way down, went outside and told my best friend I got saved. And a few weeks later, I had the joy of leading my friend to the Lord. An amazing Savior, an amazing God. That was not of self. That's something I didn't do. That's something Christians don't do. Though I'm saved, don't do. But once you become a Christian, you want to tell others of God, of what He's done for you. Primary school days were easy enough. My friends were saved. A lot of them were saved, not them all, but easy enough. Easy enough life. And during those primary school days, another date stands out in my mind. When I look back, it was the 31st of October 1983, when our family were heading to Newry, and we were caught up in an IRA ambush. You know, things that you see that we saw that day still stay in the mind. But you want to know something? God had His hand upon that whole situation, because circumstances are, no one understands why not a single bullet had hit our car. But we do know why, and not a single bullet. We know, because God has His protecting hand upon us. God was in control of the whole situation. And I look back on life, when I look back to when I got saved on the 12th of July 1981, if I had been killed that day, I would have been in eternity in hell. But I praise God that He had saved me at the age of 6. I praise Him and thank Him for that. What an awesome Savior. An awesome God. Primary school, as I said, was easy enough. And on to secondary school. Secondary school was a little bit more difficult. But my school friends that were there, some of them moved on with me. And then, once I went, at the end of third year, we moved. Mum and Dad decided to leave. Mum and Dad moved down here to Portadown. And that's when things in my life started to get really difficult. My school class, there was about 12, 13 young people in it. I moved into a class where there was about between 25 and 30. A wee country lad going into a school full of townies. You get all the names of the day, you're a culty and whatever. I didn't know what it meant, by the way. I had to find out. But there was something else. I was the only one who was saved in that class. People used to laugh at me, mock me. There's a holy Joe, look at him. I got bullied. It's not an easy thing to do, to stand up for your God in school. I say, young people, I say to you, you take your stand for Christ, because them that honour me, I will honour. He's an amazing Saviour and an amazing God. And you want to know something? I got respect by the end of my school years from those young people. They knew not to ask me to a disco, because I didn't go to a disco. They knew not to offer me drugs or alcohol and whatever else was going along with it. Because God gave me the strength to say no. I didn't do it of my own self. Because let me tell you, it was hard to kick against the grain. It's hard to go against the tide. But them that honour me, I will honour. And I praise God and thank Him for the wonderful testimony that he gave me in school, not of self. To him be all the praise, the honour and glory, for he is an absolutely awesome God. Now, things in life. I was working on the farm, doing farm labour at that stage, and didn't know what way life was going to, what things were going to happen in my own life, and things got difficult. When I started to drive, I was lonely. You're a Christian, and you have very few Christian friends. And I thank God for, at that stage, we were going to our Maui Fellowship. I thank the Lord for the young people and our youth leader, Freddie West, and our Maui Fellowship. It was at our Maui Fellowship where God gave me the opportunity the first time to speak, gave me the opportunity the first time to pray. And it was at the youth fellowship that God gave me the strength to learn more of him. He gave me grace. And I learnt of things there which were to help me through my life. But I was still lonely, so it was at times. And I got to a stage in my life where there's a saying in Romans, I believe it is, Reverend Ellie can correct me. Paul says, I am torn between two places. I have a desire to stay and I have a desire to depart. One night, I don't even know my mum and dad knew this, but dad was renting land at the time, and I went away up to where that land was, 12 o'clock at night. I went into the field at night. I don't know how long I was there for many hours. I got down on my knees and I prayed unto God. You know something? God answered all my prayers and my petitions. But he knoweth the way I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I love that verse. Reverend Ellie preached on a few weeks ago. Couldn't believe it. It's absolutely beautiful. He knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You think of that verse. He knoweth the path I take. But hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And then Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I know a lot of us go through all difficult times, but you know it's amazing that we have God, we have someone who we can trust. God, we can depend on him. When we're going through those difficult times, we get on our knees before him and we ask him for strength to get through those difficult times. And he does. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. 2001, I was still doing farm labour at the time, and sort of left that and went to work in Almack, right enough that near killed me, because coming from an outdoor perspective, a farmer, you can take a man out of a country, but you can't take the country out of a man. I went in to work in an enclosed environment, but God gave me the strength and grace to get through there. You know something, your testimony is very important. Because in there, I had Roman Catholics come up to me and say to me, you're different. Why are you different? You want to know something? God gave me an opportunity to testify unto those young fellas. So in those places, it's so important that we take our stand for God. Although it may be difficult, you may get laughed at and you get scorned. But God gives you the strength to get through it. And them that honour me, I will honour. I love that. Them that honour me, I will honour. Now, circumstances in life, with what I've explained, where I was brought up in South Armagh, had a major impact in my life. With me not going into farming, that was God's plan, not my plan, that was God's plan. 2001, God had laid it on my heart to go into Craigavonburgh to become a councillor. Stood for the elections. God brought me into that. It's not an easy place to be. I know we can all say different things about pointing fingers. I beg of you, see those that are in positions, those Christians. You might not always agree with a lot of the policies of there, but it's important that you pray for those who are in power over you. Scripture states it. It's very, very important that you pray for those who are in rule over you. It's a commandment from God. I have to say, during my time there, my brother Wilsey Smith was an absolute God sent for me, because you were getting into an area, you into an environment where a lot of difficult things there, a lot of hatred, a lot of issues. You know something, Woolsey set an example for me. Well, he stood up in front of council and he gave his testimony. He told how God, he spoke about his God all the time. He testified of a Saviour. And during the length of service that Woolsey was there, Woolsey done that. And I thank God for bringing Woolsey across my path, because God taught me through Woolsey's testimony. And you're sitting there with people that you find very difficult to be with. When you know something, I had hatred in my heart. A lot of hatred. Because of what I was brought up in. I had to ask God to take the hatred away. Well, Woolsey was able to show those around him Christ and him. He was glorified in his Saviour, but I wasn't. I wasn't giving God all the honour, the praise and the glory. And that was something which God, I had asked God to deal with my heart. You want to know something? Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say Protestant, Roman Catholic, Hindu, Jew. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me. That includes people that I were sitting in council with. Includes IRA men, includes UVF men, includes everybody. For all have sinned. There's no difference in anybody. There's two types of people on this earth, saved and unsaved. And by your testimony and your actions, you could be a hindrance to God's work. And again, through Woolsey and God speaking to me, God helped to take a lot of that hatred away. But there were very, very difficult times. Moving on, God, in his time, brought along to me another one of my petitions. God answers prayers, young people. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Tell the favour, for that goes for husband as well, by the way. But God brought along Victoria. And I thank God for that. God brought to me a godly woman. Someone who encouraged me and strengthened me and helped me through my day by day. And circumstances in life, politics changed in this country about just over 5 years ago. It changed. I struggled with it. I had a major battle in my life. It was God's plan. It is God's plan. Things are the way they are. But I had a problem at that stage with it. At that stage, I started to take pains in my chest. Didn't know, how am I going to proceed? How am I going to get through this? And took severe pains in work one day. Ambulance was called. I was rushed into hospital. Took a seizure in the hospital. And they were rushing me into resus. I usually don't go into this detail, but I want to tell you something very special. I was out of control. My mind was perfect. I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't relate to anybody but one person, and that was God. And I prayed, and I was calm in my heart. I had a peace in my mind. I was praying away to God. During your difficult times when you can't talk to anybody else, He is there. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer, for Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I love that. I really do. During that period of time, I got very low. Very, very low in life. I got things very, very difficult because of the circumstances I was brought up in. But you know, my ways are not your ways, but all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. God gave the strength and the grace through that time. I had stress, folks. I came very, very low. And once you have that, you struggle with it for the rest of your life. You want to know something? I can't get through each day unless I have my Saviour by my side, unless He's taken me, His hand in mine, and leading me along the day. What a wonderful Saviour and a wonderful God. He's awesome. Only for Him, I could not stand here tonight and speak to you, but by His grace. Now, why I'm telling you a little bit about that. At the end of the election, the end of the last term of office, I decided that I wasn't going to run again, that I had enough. And I thought it was God's will. It was God's will for me to be in council. Not my will, but God's will. And I thought, right, that's it. Time's up. And I said to folk that I'm not going anymore. And God, one day this lady came to the door. There's a knock at the door and she says, I need to talk to you. You're not the centre of God's will. And I was like totally shocked. I didn't expect someone to come to my door and say, you're not the centre of God's will. And I said, well, how do you know that? It's because God has been speaking to my husband and I. And he's laid a message in my heart, our hearts. And I've come to tell you, you need to go and pray. And I did. I was shocked. Went in to say to Victoria, do you not believe this person come to our door and said this to us? There's something. I went and I prayed about it. And we prayed about it. And I laid my petitions before the Lord. And I left them completely in his hands. I'm not going to tell you what they are. But I left the petitions and God answered those petitions. You want to know something? I didn't realise it at that stage, but God had a plan in my life. As usual, he knoweth the path I take. When he tried me, shall come forth as gold. My ways are not your ways, but all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Shortly after the elections, I was asked whether to go for deputy mayor. And I sort of prayed about it and thought, right, okay, if it's God's will. I came to church on Sunday morning and gone home. During the service, God had been speaking to me. God had put it in my heart. You're not going to be deputy mayor, you're going to be mayor of Craigavon. I sort of taken back by that was my heart. And I said, Lord, if this is of you, I need you to speak to Victoria. Not even we in Victoria, we can move from church. He says, you know something, God's been speaking to me today. You're not going to be deputy mayor, you're going to be mayor. We sat down and we prayed about it. How are we going to do this? Victoria says, you know, that's irrelevant. God has opened this door and you must step through it. We must step through this. We sat and we prayed about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse came, God brought that verse across our way. We had three young children, Isaac, Grace and Olivia. Olivia was just a few months old. And we were going, how on earth can we do this? You know something? It was God's will for our lives. I don't stand here myself. I give all glory to my God and Saviour. Because he brought this opportunity. I didn't aspire to be in that. In fact, I didn't want to be in that position, if I'm truthfully honest. But God opened the door. And when he opens the door for you, you must step through it. Because if you don't, you're not the centre of God's will. It's a dangerous thing. Because you will not get the full blessing of God if you're not the centre of his will. And God, during that period of time, brought many circumstances our way. Leading shortly after that, I got a phone call from a friend, from Stephen Moutry. He says, I need to speak to you. He called me across to the office, and as we would say, we were summoned. And we went across to speak to him, and Stephen says, I need to talk to you. I know what you're going to say, Stephen. And he told me, he says, I want you to go and pray about it. I says, Stephen, we prayed about it last week. God already has brought this in our hearts. God opened the door. He already made the way perfectly. Doesn't matter what man, God uses man to bring circumstances, to bring his will into being. During that year, I have to say, it was an absolutely amazing year. But you know something? God put me there. To him be all the honour, the praise and glory. My number one goal wasn't about the mayorship. My number one goal was to give testimony of my Saviour. And God opened up doors across this borough. I was in churches testifying to places I never thought I'd ever be in, giving honour and praise and glory to my wonderful Saviour. Because he is an awesome God. The mayorship's about God. Them that honour me, I will honour. All the people that came in through the doors that were in the building, I had the opportunity to tell them of my Saviour and my God. Some situations were very difficult, but God always gave the strength and the grace to get through that. There's another situation during that year where I went into a meeting, and I've never shared this really publicly before. I spoke to some friends about it in this congregation, and they've experienced similar circumstances. And I went to a meeting in Portadown and gave my testimony, and a lady came up and she says to me, "I need to pray for you." I went, "Right, okay." And it's sort of near somewhere else, and someone else's home patch, you sort of, you're skeptical. You don't know what to expect. And God was working with the little that I know it. And the lady, we went into a quiet area, and she prayed over me. She prayed for God to send his protecting angels upon me to keep me in my way and in the way, our life. She prayed for over me and for my family. I didn't think much more about it. I went home. I was standing in the kitchen, and I have experience I never experienced before. I spoke to Reverend Elliot about it. I looked up. I saw an angel standing in the corner of the kitchen. I thought, have I really saw this here? Am I seeing things? Victoria came in and says, "You all right?" She asked me, "What's going on?" And I explained to her. She said, "I don't see it." Victoria went out again, because you don't hear of these things. You don't believe them unless you see it. It's having that belief. And I saw the angel stand again in the corner of the room. My scripture reading that night was Psalm 91, verse 11. "For I shall give my angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Something Christians don't talk about very much. There's those in this congregation tonight who have also witnessed similar things. God is an amazing God. He sends his angels charge over thee. Do you realize what you're singing tonight? You're singing about something. And it's in 381. "Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey end." Do you actually realize what you're singing? God also uses his angels to keep his protecting hand upon us. It's amazing, folks. Absolutely amazing. What a wonderful Savior. He's had his hand, he puts his hand upon you every step of the way. He knoweth the way I take, and when he's time, I shall come forth as gold. God knows your circumstance. God knows the difficulties that you're going through in life. God will give you the strength and the grace to get through those difficulties. Sometimes you mightn't see light at the end of the tunnel, but there's always light there. I thank God for the wonderful blessings he stored upon me and my family. I thank the Lord that he saved the three children, Isaac, Grace and Olivia. I have high soul salvation. I know there's a lot of folk in here and you don't have high soul salvation. "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." You ask in God's name. If it's his will, he will grant you that request. God answers prayers in ways beyond belief. With this, I draw it to a close, because I know Reverend Elliot wants to speak. I'm going to ask you, see those of you who are not saved, where will you spend eternity? Something through my mind at the minute. I have a struggle in my mind at this present moment in time. It's a thought of eternity. Scripture says, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, and petition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day." I challenge you, if you're not saved, one day with the Lord is but like 1,000 years. It goes for the saved and the unsaved. Eternity in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never ending. Where will you spend eternity? Do you have Christ in your life? Scripture says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof, the end thereof are the ways of death. If you are not saved, I urge you that you ask Christ into your heart. This year alone, I have stood at more graves than I did the whole of last year. And we're not even halfway through February yet. Standing looking into graves, coffins of men, if they died by how they lived, they're in a lost eternity in hell. In hell. Where will you spend eternity? I can't emphasize that enough. Where will you spend eternity? It never ends. I struggle with it. I'm saved. And I know I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. But because the Spirit, you don't understand. Our minds don't take into. We can't take into thought what eternity is like. And it's so, so important that you're right with God. See, those of you who are saved, how long are we on this earth for? Some 20, some 50, some 70 years. I challenge you, what are you doing for God? Because if you're going to spend eternity in heaven, when you're on this earth for a short space of time, it's nothing. This earth is but a breath. This life on this earth is but a breath. It's but like a little flower that appears for a little while and then disappears. Life is beautiful at times, but it disappears. It's gone in the night. I just want to thank my Savior for all the wonderful things that He has done for me. I thank Him for saving my precious soul. I thank Him for His hand upon me and my family during life. Most of all, I thank Him and praise Him for sending His only Son to die for me, to die for you on the cross of Calvary. Folks, most important decision you'll ever make